This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. Corn and soybean crops continued a steady pace of development over the past week, according to the Agriculture Department's weekly crop progress report. USDA increased its rating of the corn crop designated as either good or excellent by 1 point, up to 76%, and decreased the amount of corn viewed as fair by 1 point to a level of 19%, with the other conditions categories of very poor and poor unchanged in the past 7 days. The amount of corn that is entering the pollination phase has increased by 19 points to a level of 34% at this time, which is well advanced of the 15% seen in 2013 and just slightly ahead of the 5-year average of 33%. With the emergence of the soybean crop completed, USDA stated crop conditions for the commodity have remained fairly steady over the past week, with no change in the percentage of crop in either excellent or good shape, while the update only increased by 1 point to 6%, the amount of crop viewed as being poor or very poor. As Americans hop in their cars this summer, gasoline prices are at a 6-year high. Thanks to surging demand and continued turmoil in Iran, gas is quickly approaching $4 per gallon. With prices rising so fast, there's never been a more important time for America to invest in alternative sources of energy. The longer we're dependent on oil, the longer we're at the mercy of foreign political turmoil. One of the most promising alternative energy sources is ethanol, a renewable fuel derived from common agricultural goods like corn, wood chips, and grass. Ramping up America's ethanol production would drive down demand for oil and wean this country off the volatility and sudden price swings that come along with it. And yet, despite the profound promise of ethanol, some politicians are pushing to stamp it out. They're lobbying to repeal the renewable fuel standard, which requires the use of ethanol in the national fuel supply to promote greater energy independence and a cleaner environment. Farm Bureau supports the RFS as adopted in 2007. When consumers think about GMOs, they tend to contrast them with some hypothetical alternative food that is pristine, when in most cases going non-GMO just means returning to a food production system that is less efficient and worse for the environment, said experts at a hearing on biotechnology. Joanna Lidback, a County Farm Bureau Vice President in Vermont and member of AFBF's GO team, presented testimony in support of the use of biotechnology in agriculture at the hearing. Fact check. EPA spin on water rule is 180 degrees from actual language. A blog post by the Senate Committee on Environment and Public Works blasts the Environmental Protection Agency and Army Corps of Engineers for its proposed Waters of the U.S. rule. 6 specific claims made by EPA, all of which are refuted by language in the rule, are outlined in the post. EPA claims that their regulatory proposals do not affect various types of water bodies, notes the blog. However, the text of the proposals demonstrates that EPA either doesn't understand the language they drafted or they are intentionally trying to mislead the American public. Senator David Vitter of Louisiana and other Republicans on the committee have been actively engaged with EPA and the Corps since the Waters of the U.S. rule was released. They are concerned about how the rule would affect the economy and private property rights. Safe, accessible water resources are essential, but various threats are closing the taps, says the Council for Agricultural Science and Technology. A growing problem comes from nuisance aquatic plants that invade rivers, lakes, and other aquatic ecosystems. They can affect aesthetics, drainage, fishing, water quality, fish and wildlife habitat, flood control, human and animal health, hydropower generation, irrigation, navigation, recreation, and ultimately land values. Kale has gotten big, and now it's getting small. Kalelets, the first new vegetable to reach the U.S. market since broccolini joined produce departments in 1998, are set to debut this fall. The compact clusters of frilly green leaves are a cross between Brussels sprouts and kale a vegetable whose reputation has soared since scientists a decade ago sought its help in making a maligned brassica more appealing. George H.W. Bush famously classified Brussels sprouts avoidance as a valuable presidential perk. Brussels sprouts were slumping, recalls Lisa Friedrich, marketing specialist for British vegetable seed breeder Tozer Seeds. She adds that the hybridization was initially designed to lessen the bitterness that bothers Brussels sprouts detractors. The terms local and organic have become increasingly coveted characteristics for packaged foods and beverages in the North American market, as evidenced by a growing number of marketing campaigns touting local and organic foods, not to mention the impressive sales figures for each category. The American Farm Bureau Federation released to Congress a comprehensive document that responds point by point to numerous inaccurate and misleading comments about the Environmental Protection Agency's latest clean water rule. Nancy Stoner, EPA Acting Assistant Administrator for Water, made the statements in a recent agency blog post. AFBF's document explains, with specific citations to the proposed rule and other authorities, how the rule would give EPA broad Clean Water Act jurisdiction over dry land features and farming practices long declared off-limits by Congress and the nation's highest court. AFBF and several state farm bureaus have met with the EPA repeatedly, and each time agency officials have declined to grapple with the serious, real-world implications of the rule, according to AFBF President Bob Stallman. EPA is now engaged in an intensive public relations campaign, and Farm Bureau believes its statements are directly contrary to the reality of the proposed rule. Farm Bureau has therefore decided to take our arguments to a wider audience as well. Farm Bureau is dedicated to communicating to farmers, their elected representatives, and the public how the proposed rule will impose costly and time-intensive federal permitting regimes on commonplace and essential practices that our nation's farmers and ranchers depend on. Agency inspectors and courts will apply the rule, not EPA's talking points. It's time for the agency to ditch this rule and start over. The House has approved H.R. 5021, the Highway Transportation Funding Act of 2014. The bill funds the Highway Trust Fund through May 31, 2015. The $10.8 billion measure would provide funding by transferring $9.8 billion from the general fund by changing pension contributions and increasing customs fees and transferring $1 billion from the Leaking Underground Storage Tank Trust Fund. The Senate is planning to set up a procedure allowing for a vote on H.R. 5021, as well as the Senate Finance Committee package, the Preserving America's Transit and Highways Act of 2014, along with a vote on an alternative package that Senate Environment and Public Works Committee Chair Barbara Boxer of California is preparing. The PATH Act is very similar to H.R. 5021, as both would provide $10.8 billion for the Highway Trust Fund, both utilizing pension smoothing and an extension of customs user fees as offsets for their general fund transfers. The PATH Act is narrower on provisions and raises the additional revenue needed to fully offset the general fund transfer with several tax compliance provisions. It also does not provide a date for expenditure authority like H.R. 5021. Farm Bureau supports the maintenance and improvement of our transportation infrastructure, including rural highways and farm-to-market roads. More than 4,500 rail cars are past due in North Dakota by about 30 days, causing farmers to be concerned that delayed shipments will stress the storage capacity of the grain network in the state as harvest nears. Senator Heidi Heitkamp of North Dakota, a member of the Senate Agriculture Committee, recently met with Daniel Elliott, chairman of the Surface Transportation Board, to discuss recent status reports from Burlington Northern Santa Fe and Canadian Pacific Railroads. The two agreed to continue to pressure the railroads to make up the extreme backlog. Senate Surface Transportation Board has jurisdiction over the U.S. railroad system. Armyworms have swept the Mid-South, creating what has by far been the biggest armyworm invasion we've ever seen, according to Angus Cashot, Extension Entomology Professor at the annual meeting of the Mississippi Farm Bureau Federation's Cotton Policy Committee. These rice grass-eating worms are not crop-specific. For the first time, they have extended their destruction to Bolgar 2 cotton. While it hasn't been the case in years past, Cashaw found extensive damage in one cotton field he looked at, noting that the worms weren't simply eating the leaves, but rather the stems and chewing the insides out of the larger plants. Fortunately, unlike the strain of army worms that prefers corn, the worms Cashaw is seeing are easy to kill and can be eliminated by tank mixing a pyrethroid insecticide with an herbicide. Federal truck regulations affect virtually all operating farmers in Illinois. As a farm vehicle driver, many farmers enjoy exemptions. But significant new exemptions from the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Regulations were made effective in November 2013, with Illinois legislation bringing additional changes this year for those operating a covered farm vehicle. You need to know the differences in these sets of exemptions. Over the past 8 months, the Off-Highway Vehicle Stamp Program has been started, retracted, re-legislated, and is being readied for a restart. New medical card rules have kicked in, one in January and another in May. The USDOT number and UCR registrations and even the CDL are still widely misunderstood. Come and learn how to straighten out all of these twists and turns in trucking rules that apply to farmers. Macoupin County Farm Bureau will host a two-hour seminar beginning at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, August 5th, that addresses these regulations. The seminar will be held at the Macoupin County Farm Bureau building on 220 North Broad in Carlinville. The seminar will focus on trucking laws, new and well-worn, important to farmers. In addition, you'll have the chance to ask your questions. Presenting the seminar will be Kevin Rund, who, for more than 30 years, has specialized in farm transportation issues for the Illinois Farm Bureau. In addition to his presentation, Rund will provide take-home materials addressing these topics. Come on out on August 5th, learn something new, and improve your understanding of today's motor vehicle law. USDA may not finish implementing the 2014 Farm Bill until the beginning of the year, according to Illinois Farm Bureau's Doug Yoder. Yoder, Senior Director of Affiliate and Risk Management, pointed to the sheer workload of writing all the new bills. Yoder will provide an update on the 2014 Farm Bill, called the Agricultural Act of 2014, during a seminar to be held on August 7th at 7 p.m. at the Macoupin County Farm Bureau building in Carlinville. Yoder will also provide an overview of farmers' options. He said farmers should wait until USDA publishes the final rules and regulations before making any decisions, but it's not too soon to learn. Macoupin County NRCS staff will also be on hand to discuss new programs available to farmers through the new Farm Bill. Come on out on August 7th, learn something new, and improve your understanding of the Agricultural Act of 2014. You'll be better able to sort coffee shop talk from real-world requirements, saving you expenses and headaches. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.